Welcome to today's podcast. We are chatting today about babies in the 3 to 6 month age group. So maybe some of you have previously listened to my podcast about newborns, and now you have found your way to the next episode, which is about 3 to 6 month old babies. If you have a baby in this age group already, there are a few things that you will have noticed are a little bit different to the newborn months, and that is that your baby is no longer quite so neurologically immature, and their circadian rhythm has now kind of fully formed and emerged, and their naps should be becoming a lot more predictable during the day. Even if you have struggled in those first 3 months, the sort of second phase from 3 to 6 months should see those naps becoming a lot more predictable. And this is a great time to start establishing a nap routine if you haven't already got one in place. We do find as well in this age that feeding kind of stabilizes, and you know, you find your feet as a mother, and we find that we're getting more of those regular 3, 3.5 hour blocks during the day where we're not having to constantly feed. Our supply has established itself, or if we're formula feeding, we feel more comfortable with knowing how much our child needs. That big growth spurt's finished, and everything's just a bit more calm compared to that first kind of crazy 3 months, or the fourth trimester as we call it. And the other great thing that can start to happen in this age and stage of 3 to 6 months is that night sleep can finally start to consolidate. So if you had been worried and just feeding on demand through the fourth trimester, now that you are in the stage of 3 to 6 months, this is a great time to start to consolidate that night sleep into some bigger chunks. And if you consider the definition of sleeping through the night to be anywhere from 6 to 8 hours in a row without a feed, then a lot of children will start to sleep through the night in this age bracket of 3 to 6 months. So let's explore some of these ideas and concepts in this podcast. Let's first look at nap routines and establishing a nap routine in this 3 to 6 month age range. So the reason why so many parents love establishing nap routines is that it obviously gives the parents some consistency and predictability in their day. But not only that, but it also makes babies generally very content and happy because they are having their needs met and kind of anticipated even before they have to cry to let you know that they're tired or hungry, because everything is so regular day to day. Now, you can establish a nap routine quite easily in the 3 to 6 month age group. Most children are very open to it. And there are a few things which you can know which will help you to establish kind of the very best nap routine possible. And that is, with the emergence of your baby's circadian rhythm, they have a couple of dips in their day. And these are kind of natural dips which occur within their biological clock, where the body naturally wants to rest and have a break. And their temperature and hormone levels change in this time. And if we can aim for a nap to start within these biological nap windows, then it's going to be a lot easier for your child to settle to sleep. They're going to have a lot more of a restorative nap, and they're a lot less likely to catnap in these biological sleep windows as well. These biological sleep windows are really obvious from the 4 month mark. So you might not notice them quite so obviously around the 3 month mark, but by 4 months you will see that your child is naturally quite tired and willing to take a nap between 9 and 10 in the morning and 12 and 2 in the afternoon. Now, that's not to dictate that these are the exact times of your child's naps, but these are the optimal times for your baby's naps to start. So those are pretty big windows and pretty flexible times. Obviously, a child under 6 months also needs a third nap late in the afternoon, and I would suggest this happens between 4 and 5, but this is not a biological sleep window, and it's actually inside of what Ferber calls the forbidden sleep zone. So with this knowledge, I recommend that you just try to do something really simple, like go for a walk at this time, to really encourage your baby to take a nap in preparation for their bedtime routine later on that evening. So now that we know the three kind of optimal times for our baby's naps to start during the day, then we can look at how long they can stay awake for. And on average, a baby coming out of that fourth trimester can stay awake for around an hour and a half to an hour 45. So not quite 2 hours between their naps, but almost. And if your baby is staying awake this long, the great thing about this is if they're coping with this amount of awake time, chances are they're not going to be so undertired that you're going to get really stuck in the 4 month sleep regression and have a lot of catnapping. And they're not also going to be so overtired that, again, they start to really catnap and take those really strong 45 minute sleeps when they hit the 4 month sleep regression. So we really want their awake time to be on point and continue to extend their awake time as they get older. I know there has been so much change in the first 12 weeks that we would love to just relax for the next 3 months, but the biggest changes in your baby's awake windows do occur in the first 6 months. So really, their awake window is going to continue to increase from the moment they're born until they're happy to stay awake around 2.5 hours between naps. And this takes, on average, 6 months. So in this 3 to 6 month window, we are increasing baby's awake time from around an hour 45 to around 2.5 hours between naps. Now, obviously there's going to be some variability in that between babies, but this is a really good figure to remember in your head. And if you suddenly are struggling with settling time, it might be that your child and that your baby needs more awake time. So just give them that extra 5 minutes in between their naps and see if this helps them to settle a little bit easier, knowing that their awake time will increase with age. And I think this is one of the biggest pitfalls that parents fall into, that they establish a nap routine and then they are too scared to deviate from it. And if you establish that nap routine in the first 6 months, it's going to change almost every fortnight. So your child's awake time is going to continue to increase by about 5 minutes or so every fortnight. And if you don't adjust their nap routine as they grow, your nap routine will no longer suit your baby and it will fall apart and you'll struggle to settle them. They'll probably have cat naps and you'll feel like nothing's working. And it's just that there is that quite consistent increase in awake time in the first 6 months. So we really have to be aware of that. As our child grows, their need to be awake will increase. So establishing a nap routine in the first 3 to 6 months, summarize, remember their awake time is going to increase and they have two biological sleep windows throughout the day. So if we can aim for their naps to start in those biological sleep windows, that would be ideal and probably make setting up a nap routine a lot easier than if we don't. The third and final thing to understand about establishing a nap routine is just how long it can take. So I think people tend to rush into this and within 3 days, if it hasn't fallen into place, they want to abandon ship and Google search for a new nap routine. But in all honesty, in the first 6 months, every day you need to be applying what you know about your child's nap routine and working on it. And some days it's going to be ideal. Some days it's going to fall apart because you're busy, but every day you kind of wake up again and give it another go. And after about 2 weeks, you should notice that your nap routine has become a lot more consistent than inconsistent, but obviously you're still going to experience those odd days where you are running errands and you get home late, or your baby is a little bit sick and it throws things off, and so you have to kind of give it a kickstart and try again with that consistency. But you really need to set aside 2 weeks to establish a nap routine and then be very aware that in the first 6 months it is very much starting every day from scratch at 7 o'clock and giving it another go at being really consistent that day. And this is especially true if you are putting a nap routine in place in order to tackle catnaps. You really need to set aside a good 2 weeks to tackle catnaps. And I think, again, people really think that these will resolve in a couple of days. and they abandon ship if they don't see progress within 48 hours of resettling. So give your nap routine 2 weeks to fall into place, but make sure that it does take into account your baby's biological nap windows and their age-appropriate awake times as they get older and progress and can stay awake for longer. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about is nighttime sleep consolidation in the 3 to 6 month age group. So in the first 3 months and the fourth trimester, we tend to feed on demand a lot and accept the fact that our newborns want to feed frequently at night, and we accept this as normal. Now, whilst this is sustainable for about 3 months for us adults, I know most of my clients, once they hit the 3 to 6 month age range, start to say, look, Emma, it's not sustainable anymore. I can't keep getting up every 2 hours overnight. You know, my baby is now 6-7 kgs big and is gaining weight really well. Do I have to keep feeding every 2 hours? Can something happen here? And the answer is absolutely yes. It is 100% biologically normal for your baby to wake frequently at night. All humans wake every 2 to 4 hours overnight. So let's say that again. It's biologically normal for all humans to wake every 2 to 4 hours overnight. But what we are trying to establish here is that in the 3 to 6 month age bracket, if your child is thriving and feeding well and gaining lots of weight, then chances are we can start to teach them to go back to sleep on their own when those sleep cycles at night finish, and only require feeding when they're actually hungry. And the majority of babies in the 3 to 6 month age bracket can get through the night on 1 to 2 feeds in that 12-hour block. So for a lot of babies, that means either one feed before midnight and one after, or just one feed between bedtime and morning, and that's enough to sustain them overnight. And they just simply need to learn to go back to sleep after a sleep cycle has finished at night. And that is a super important skill for your baby to learn in that 3 to 6 month age range. This will carry them through into toddlerhood, right? The ability to wake up, roll over, and go back to sleep. And it will take some teaching if your child is not used to doing this, and that's where you may have to do a little bit of sleep coaching. You don't necessarily have to go down the path of cry it out. There is so many different options out there that you can choose from, and we obviously talk about all of these inside of our sleep program. So really gentle, where you can stay in the room and you can be hands-on and assisting them and helping them. We can even use nursing to calm, pickups, cuddles, all of that kind of stuff. Gradually retreat. There's lots of options, but the solution to those frequent wake ups at night is teaching your baby to go back to sleep without the feed. Okay, and once you do that, you can then look, okay, are they happy to go 4 hours between feeds at night, which will get you 2 feeds over a 12-hour night, or are they happy to go all night with just 1 feed? And one of the really big indicators that you can look at to work that out is whether or not they are hungry in the morning when they wake up for a good proper feed. So if they have 2 feeds overnight and then you get them up at 7, are they fussy on the breast? Are they having a small feed? Do they not finish their bottle? That kind of thing. That's kind of showing us that perhaps if this is happening, they're ready to drop one of their 2 night feeds and take a bigger feed in the morning. So it's not that we are depriving them of calories or feeds, we're simply shifting when those calories come in from, is it in the middle of the night to during the day. And we know when our babies hit this 3 to 6 month age range, their tummies are bigger, they're more efficient at feeding, and they can take bigger feeds during the day in order to sustain themselves for longer at night. Another factor that I see in the 3 to 6 month age range is that when children continue to wake frequently, so when these babies are still waking every 2 hours, right up until 6 months, what often happens is I see them having this very fragmented night sleep, which isn't actually as restorative as if they were having a good 4-hour block of sleep at night, and it means they tend to wake up on the back foot. So they wake up already a little bit tired, and this can make it really hard for parents to establish really good naps during the day because their child is already overtired from the minute they start their day, and it's a struggle to even get a nap routine happening. And if this is the situation that you're stuck in, I do actually find working on your nighttime sleep for a week or so actually is a good place to start. We consolidate the nighttime sleep. Everybody feels a lot more refreshed with all of that beautiful, deep night sleep happening. And it has a really good, positive impact on daytime naps and makes establishing a nap routine a lot easier, especially around the whole feeding concept. So if your baby's feeding frequently at night and they're not hungry when they wake up in the morning around 7, and then you go to try to put them down for a nap at 9:30, perhaps they wanted to feed right before that nap because they didn't feed at 7 because they fed so frequently in the night. Now you're either stuck having to try to feed them right before a nap when they're tired and unlikely to take a decent feed and possibly feed to sleep, or skipping the feed and trying to get a hungry baby to sleep. So ideally we want to start the day at 7 o'clock with a really big feed because your child has done their biggest chunk of sleep at night, and that will set us up for success for the day. So that's something to bear in mind if you are struggling with broken nights and not great nap routines during the day. Sometimes working on your nights to begin with can give you a really good positive knock-on effect throughout the day. If you are wanting to work on establishing longer nighttime sleep, it is also a great idea to transition your baby into a sleeping bag so their hands are free and they can start to use their hands to settle themselves if they want to. Think about all those really positive sleep associations that you can use at night. So sleeping bags, white noise, safe, cuddly or lovey if you want to give them something to hold on to, and a really good sleep environment that's nice and dark and not too hot, not too cold, that kind of stuff. And then really hone in and work on those self-settling skills, because ultimately that is what is going to enable your baby to consolidate their nighttime sleep. And remember, we're not saying that it is biologically abnormal for your baby to wake at night. That is very normal. But we do know that in the 3 to 6 month age range, despite these wake-ups that all humans do, we definitely can teach your baby to consolidate their sleep and go back to sleep on their own without having to feed or be rocked or held or bounced or patted every 2 hours throughout the night. So that's the skill that we're focusing on when we talk about nighttime sleep consolidation in the 3 to 6 month age range. Okay, now we are going to look at some of the developmental stages and phases that occur in this 3 to 6 month age range, the ones that impact on your child's sleep. So first thing is that some point in the 3 to 6 month age range, your baby is going to need to be, want to be, required to be unswaddled or unwrapped. So if you wrapped your baby as a newborn, sometime in the 3 to 6 month age range, you're going to have to unwrap them. What I recommend you do for this is you try first with one arm. I always take one arm out and keep the rest of the body and the other arm fully swaddled and wrapped up. If I need to, I will just revert back to using a muslin to do this, or a flat bassinet sheet if you are using a fitted swaddle and you can't adjust to one arm out. It's always good if you can try this first during the day with a nap and see how it goes, because if the nap doesn't quite work out, say it's the first nap of the day, then you have the rest of the day to kind of get back on track before bedtime. So start unswaddling by testing it out during a nap in the day, and you know, give them time and space to self-settle with that arm out. Maybe even give them a lovey or a cuddly to hold on to. And I also turn on white noise in this time to make sure they have something else to focus on, apart from the fact that we have unswaddled them all of a sudden. So once you find you are successful with that one arm out for your naps during the day, then progress to the first half of your night's sleep. And what I usually do is put baby to bed with one arm out at bedtime, and then after that first feed of the night, then I re-swaddle baby for the rest of the night, just to make sure that we're not going to lose that sleep leading up until morning time and everybody wake up grumpy and grouchy. So then once you have successfully managed to unswaddle one arm out during the day and the first half of the night, then obviously I do the second half of the night, one arm out. And if that's all going well and it's not resulting in broken nights and I'm continuing to work on self-settling, then I will attempt sleeping bag during the day and no arms inside a swaddle. And once that's working well, then I'll work on that half night, both arms out, and then the second half of the night, both arms out. In this transitional time, I use a sleeping bag usually, and I just wrap on top of the sleeping bag to have that one arm tucked in. So I'm making the transition from a swaddle, into a sleeping bag. So it's a nice smooth transition. If it's before 6 months, I generally take around 1 to 2 weeks to do that whole transition. If it's closer to 6 months, then your baby's startle reflex is definitely going to be gone or well on its way to being gone. So you'll find you can make the transition a lot faster. And obviously if your baby suddenly learns to roll, you'll need to do it more immediately for safety reasons. So that's unswaddling. That's a pretty big milestone that we need to go through in the 3 to 6 month age range. The next one I want to talk about is similar and kind of leads on from the unswaddling, and that is rolling over. So your baby will probably learn in the first 3 months to roll from tummy to back if you do tummy time during the day. And then closer to 6 months, most babies will learn to roll from back to tummy. This obviously coincides with the need to unswaddle your baby for safety reasons, but it also can lead to an interesting time with sleep. So you pop them down to go to bed in the evening or for a nap and leave the room. 5 minutes later, they've rolled onto their tummy and they're doing a really great impersonation of a seal stuck in their bed. What do you do? What I recommend you do is for the first couple of days, go back and kind of soothe them a little bit and rescue them, roll them back to their back, and then let them self-settle again. Leave the room, give it another go. After the first couple of days, I recommend that you no longer roll them back. So once they are making the decision themselves to roll from back to tummy, it's perfectly safe for them to sleep on their tummies because you haven't put them in that position. So as long as the cot has a firm mattress and they've got a clear airway inside that cot, so no pillows and blankets and bumpers and giant soft toys, then it's fine for them to choose the position in which they sleep in. So we never put them down on their tummies, but if they roll from their back to their tummy after a couple of days, I stop rolling them back again. Otherwise, we basically form a new sleep habit whereby your baby thinks, okay, so I go to bed, I roll over 18 times and mum comes and rescues me 18 times and then I go to sleep, which isn't ideal. What we want is for them to learn that whichever position they choose, they can actually fall asleep in that position and they will be fine. And the majority of babies will actually end up favoring tummy sleeping and sleep most of the night on their tummies once they can make that rollover themselves. They just need to go through that stage where they kind of panic a little bit and we can go and soothe them, but I would no longer roll them back after a couple of days, okay? What you can do during the day is really work on that rolling both ways, back to tummy, tummy to back. And if you actively do that during the day with your baby, you're going to create what is called muscle memory and help your baby to understand that they have the skill and the ability to roll both ways. And that will really help them with their nighttime sleep when they do go through that milestone and learn to roll over. But I know that a lot of parents panic when their child rolls to their stomach and think they have to continually force them to sleep on their backs. But if it's in that 3 to 6 month age range and they're doing it themselves and their cot is clear, it's actually okay for them to choose where they sleep. And the American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend any sleep positioners, and that is what you would need to force them to stay on their backs. So we don't need to force them to stay in any one position. We just need to make the transition to a sleeping bag, take away all the blankets and sheets, and let them choose the position in which they sleep in. Okay, the next milestone is a pretty big one, and that is starting solids. So most babies will start solids in this age range of 3 to 6 months, but hopefully not until 4 to 6 months. So the very earliest we want to offer solids is 4 months. Now, offering solids is a really personalized milestone. Every baby's kind of ready at a different age to start solids. But the problem can be if you start solids too quickly, so you increase the volume too quickly and you transition from one meal to two meals to three meals too quickly, you can create what is we call a food-milk imbalance, and you can end up putting your baby off having their full breastfeeds or bottle feeds during the day, and this results in them waking up at night for more milk feeds. So we really want to make sure that the introduction to solids, whilst we're not anxious about it, we want to make sure that it's quite gradual and that those increases in volume are gradual, not sudden. So just gradually increase how much your baby's eating, let them guide you. The other thing to watch out for, which is a really simple sort of rule to remember, is try not to offer solids within an hour of your baby going to bed. So try not to start them within that hour. So if your baby's going to go to bed at night between 6:30 and 7, try to not start your solids at 5:30 or 6 at night, because this is likely to interrupt them falling asleep because their bodies will be too busy digesting food. So that's not the same for milk, it's only for food, as in solid food, which is a lot harder for the body to digest. So try to keep the start of the solid meal at least an hour away from either a nap or evening sleep, and that'll help you to minimize any disruptions to your baby's sleep caused by their food and starting solids. The final thing to know about starting solids and sleep is that it is really normal for your sleep to get a little bit disrupted in the sort of first week or two that you do start solids, because the introduction of solids does mean that your baby has to produce a whole lot of new enzymes to digest this food, and it totally changes the balance of gut microbes, because you've changed the composition of what you're putting into the gut, so in response, all the microbes that are in there, that will change, and that means there's different byproducts, and your baby's tummy will just feel a bit weird and a bit different, maybe a bit gassy, but it just feels different, right? And so this can just cause a few little grizzles and disruptions to sleep. Know that it's normal and you don't need to suddenly stop the solids. It's just a normal kind of transition and phase of them getting used to how it feels. And this can be why we recommend you start solids during the day. So if any kind of disruption is going to happen, it's not going to be in that precious nighttime sleep. Okay, the fourth milestone that often occurs in this stage is moving from a bassinet to a cot. Now, if you started with a bassinet for your newborn, chances are they're going to outgrow it in the 3 to 6 month stage. If this is you, we often get questions around how to make this transition. Now, this transition can also mean that you're going from room sharing to your baby being in their own room. And that can be a bigger transition itself than physically going from a bassinet to a cot. So you might want to stagger it in a similar way to the way that you staggered your unswaddling. So just do the naps first and then do your nights. The other thing you can do is if you have a bassinet that fits in the cot, you can physically put the bassinet in the cot for a few days to help your baby get used to it. If you don't, then I recommend taking your cot sheet and putting it on your bassinet for a week, and then it smells like sleep and your baby's very used to the smell and the feel of it. Then take the sheet from the bassinet and put it into the cot. Don't wash it, obviously, when you make the transition, and it'll help your baby to just feel like it's a little bit familiar to what they were in previously. If you are going to make the transition from bassinet and room sharing to cot and baby's own room, then it is nicer if you can take the bassinet into their room for a few days so you don't make quite so many changes all at once. So bassinet and baby's own room for a few days, and then cot and baby's own room for a few days, and you'll probably notice a lot less disruptions if you just stagger it a little bit. Okay, and finally, one last milestone that I really want you to focus on in the 3 to 6 month age range, and that is really working on independent play. So does your baby already happily play on their play gym or their play mat on the floor, or are they not content to be alone for 10 minutes playing, you know? If they aren't content with this, chances are you are going to have issues with self-settling and settling well on their own independently in their bed. So a really good stepping stone is to start working on independent play during the day. So pop them down on their play mat or their play gym, and you don't have to leave them, but just sit there and talk to them, hand them some toys, maybe sing a song, interact with them, but allow them to be okay with being semi-alone in that environment with you very close by. And then obviously gradually remove yourself from the play situation over time until your baby's happy to sort of play on the play mat or their play gym for 10 to 20 minutes, really on their own. You're in the room with them, but maybe you're doing chores or prepping dinner, and they're really content to just play. And that independent play, those small little segments that you can work on, will really help your baby to also be okay in the stroller, the car seat, and their bed. All of those kind of independent situations where they need to be okay for 10 minutes whilst they fall asleep, or they need to be okay for 10 minutes whilst you go for a walk to the shop. So all of that stuff will really link together in the 3 to 6 month age range. We're obviously not packing them up and sending them off to college, but we're just giving them that little tiny bit of independent play to help to start to build those skills, which will be really important moving ahead into the next 6 months, to give everybody a little bit of a break and a breather during the day, so there's a bit more balance, rather than feeling like you have a newborn for 12 months, you know, completely attached to you. And it really does help with sleep. So if you are struggling with self-settling or settling itself, these two things will link together. So I really recommend that you give it a go and try working on it. Okay, I hope this 3 to 6 month podcast has been really helpful. There is really a lot of change in this age bracket. I know that probably our most common questions and problems we have with our clients in this age range is cat napping, so really short 30 to 45 minute naps, no nap routine during the day, babies skipping naps and staying awake for a long time, being very grumpy and unhappy. I know we have a lot of clients still struggling with evenings and not sort of having a nice evening routine set up. And then the biggest one would be the night times and all those frequent wake ups at night. So I hope from this podcast you can see that there definitely are solutions for all of these problems. And 3 to 6 months really is what we call the sweet spot for tackling sleep problems. And basically the research tells us if we tackle them now in the 3 to 6 month age range and spend time really establishing those wonderful, wonderful, healthy sleep habits, then you are going to avoid a lot of sleep regressions down the track. So work on self-settling, work on consistent, frequent naps, work on establishing consolidated naps if you can, so one nap a day that's longer than 45 minutes, and a really great evening routine, and then start to think about consolidating your night sleep so you're getting at least those 4 hour chunks, and maybe your baby is even ready for 6 to 8 hours overnight without a feed. And those kind of 6 things will really set you up for success moving forward in the next 6 months of sleep, and you'll hardly notice any kind of regressions and blips. Obviously, if you do need some more help from here, feel free to jump onto the website and book a chat with me. We are always available to help, and our online programs are always available to be downloaded. They come with completely free email support, which is unheard of. It's private, it's one-on-one, and it's covered by my team of sleep consultants, so you know you're going to get a great answer to all those questions really quickly, and the whole world's not going to see you asking a question on Facebook. So there's always help available, guys. And otherwise, if you have enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with your mum friends. I'm sure everybody out there would like to be getting a better night's sleep tonight. Thanks.